This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we talking about today, Mike?
Today, we could talk about day hikes. Instead of just our typical overnighters backpacking, in a sense, more or less just hiking.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, we talk quite a bit on this podcast about backpacking, even though it is Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Take a hike, right.
So, yeah, let's talk about day hikes. I mean, I love day hikes, so
that's where you and I got our start, as in our initial plan was the Porcupine Mountain, but to prepare for that, we did a lot of day hikes to see if we actually even like being out on the trail. You know, like we had a spot set up or, you know, two trucks in different locations and walk from one to the other. Some of us may have left the keys in the wrong truck, but so, I mean, the difference, and I think we covered this on some of our terminology things, but the difference between a day hike and backpacking is more or less a, I'm going to get this wrong, a straight through or a loop, but not all content, like it's not completed in one day. There's overnight involved, setting up camp, multiple meals.
Well, and I always think of it like just from like a gear standpoint, like backpacking is, for me anyway, is more like you have to take stuff with you. Like you are doing some sort of trip that requires you to take gear, requires you to take stuff, requires you to take cooking equipment, requires you to take food, requires you to take a change of clothes, requires,
right.
Like, I just feel like there is more stuff involved in like a backpacking versus a hiking trip, specifically a day hike. Like a day hike pretty much by definition is done in a single day.
Right. I mean, it could be all day, but it's still done in a single day.
It could be all day, for sure. Like, it could be, like, sun up to sundown, or, like, even into the dark. Could be.
Yeah. But and you could still take stuff. You're not necessarily taking shelter. You're not taking sleeping bag, things like that. You could still take the camp stove if you want to sit outside and have a dehydrated meal, you know, an MRE or whatever.
For sure. Yeah. For sure, there is still stuff right. involved in a day hike. I mean, unless you're going for a real short one, but like for like a real good day hike, there is still stuff involved, mm-hmm. but it's not like to the level of, you and I talked on a previous episode about like before we ever started getting into this, and you kind of mentioned it even at the top of this episode, we went out and practiced for right. a backpacking trip, right? Like, I don't feel like you necessarily need to practice for a day hike. A day hike is right. a much more accessible way to go out and explore the trails, get out into nature, yeah. see some cool stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to. I mean, obviously, you could technically just take a JanSport backpack if you wanted to. You know, like, you don't have to get a giant 65-liter backpack right. that fits everything. You could just take whatever backpack or pack you have laying around the house, a cinch sack or whatever, and put whatever you're going to need, your snacks, your water, all that kind of stuff, and go. It's a much more relaxed version of enjoying nature.
I think that's a great way to say it. A much more relaxed way, way less intense, way less yeah. prep work involved.
Yeah.
Way less planning involved. Like, all the things. It is, like, way easier to just, like, one day wake up and be like, you know what? I want to go for a hike. Let's go do that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So, where do you want to start with this one? I know I introduced the episode, but this really was your choice.
Right.
So, where do you want to start with this one?
So, let's maybe, I mean, because we kind of already touched on gear. Let's start with, like, gear, right? Because okay. you and I talk quite a bit about what gear we have for backpacking, what gear we take, what gear we recommend. A lot of that discussion that you and I have had on every episode leading up to this, it really is geared towards a backpacking trip.
Right.
And not so much to a hiking trip, especially a day hike type of trip.
Yeah.
So let's talk about like what the gear differences would be for like okay. essential things that I think everybody should take on a day hike. So, and when I guess when I'm like thinking about gear for this, I'm not just talking about like a half a mile walk in the woods, right? Like, I'm talking like you're going to be out there for a few hours. You're going to go a decent distance. You're going right. to want more than just a water bottle, right? Where right. if you're just yep. hiking, if you're just, you know, pulling off to the side of the road and walking a half mile to a scenic overlook or something, you can probably grab your water bottle, walk there and walk back. No prep needed, no gear needed. But right. when I'm thinking a day hike, I'm thinking multiple miles, multiple hours. You're going to be out there for a bit, right?
Yeah.
So the very first thing that I would recommend, like, obviously, I've kind of already mentioned it, but like some sort of water container.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. is that a water bottle? Is it going to be a water bladder? Either one, both, some sort of water. You're going to want to make sure, you know, heaven forbid you take a wrong turn while you're out there and you wind up being out there a little bit longer than you want. You're going to want some water. You need to stay hydrated.
Yep.
Water makes everything run. So take some water.
Well, and to piggyback on that, I would say, depending on the length or the plan, is to take some sort of a filter to refill at a water source. I mean, you're not always going to have a water source necessarily for your day hikes. Probably most part, you're going to run across a river out in the woods somewhere around there. But
unless you're in the desert.
Unless you're in the desert.
Maybe not so much.
Right. But plan on trying to figure out how to refill your water. If you're going for 3, 6 miles, 12 miles, things like that. And that, I mean, the amount of water you take, like you said, if you're just doing the little half mile jaunt to see a waterfall or whatever, fine. You just take your water bottle. You don't really need to take a filter or anything like right. that. But if you're planning a 6 to 12 mile loop or out and back, then you probably want to take 1 to 2 liters and maybe a way to refill that 1 to 2 liters.
Yeah, I would think like at the very least, even if you don't want to take like a full filter system, right? Like,
yeah.
let's say you don't want to take a whole thing to be able to filter water and all that. You don't think you're going to need it. You think you're carrying enough water. I don't think it would hurt, and this is my official recommendation, at least take your iodine tabs or something like that.
Yeah.
So you can at least treat the water that you come across.
Yeah.
If you need it. They're super lightweight. You can throw them in a bag. Like, there's no... They're pretty much idiot-proof.
Or how about this? You and I both have them, but we usually end up leaving the filters at home, which is probably a bad idea. But we have Life Straw water bottles.
I think that's a great option. I think that, yes. Okay, so, but here's...
Some
but
kind
here,
of filtered yeah. water bottle.
Filtered water bottle, great idea. Yes. I mean, the answer to that is yes. I think that's a great idea. There's a cost to get that. So, like, if you don't want to do, like, the whole big cost of that when you don't...
Yeah.
Is this going to be, like, a one-off day trip that you're taking with somebody? You know, like, you, if you're not trying to invest in gear, right?
Right, okay.
Those iodine tabs are cheap. Like, cheap. Get a couple of them, throw them in your pack, worst case scenario... You have them, you can treat the water, you won't get sick from whatever water you're getting.
Right, yeah.
It might still be full of debris, it might still be not, like, great water, but it's not going to make you sick.
You just run them through your sock, and then you get rid of the debris.
Which is an option. I mean, that is something you could theoretically do. I still think you're going to want to treat the water.
Right.
But, I mean, you and I talked, because we were going to maybe do day hikes this summer on our, like, larger trip.
Yep.
You know, if you are a backpacker and you have, like, Mike and I have a gravity bag that we use to filter water with.
Right.
That thing, when there is no water in that gravity bag, it takes up no room and it weighs nothing. Like, we are going to take that on day hikes if Mike and I go on day hikes. But we already own that. Like, we bought that as part of, like, a larger plan. So that's not a cost thing that it's going to cost us anything, because we already have the cost is gone already.
Right.
If you don't have one of those, and you maybe you don't have a Life Straw filtering water bottle, or Life Straw is not a sponsor. I mean, that just happens to be the brand that Mike and I have.
Right. There's several other options.
There's several other options out there at various different price points, but they are a little bit pricier than your iodine tabs. So I think it would be real easy. Throw a couple of iodine tabs in your pocket. You're good to go.
Just in case. We talked about it in our water episode, but we take iodine tablets with us as a backup in case our filter fails.
Right.
So... That's something to be said as well.
Right.
So I guess to piggyback on that too, is going to be depending on what type of water reservoir or canister of the water
vessel,
system.
Water vessel.
There you go. There's the word. Depending on that is going to depend on the size of pack you want to take for a day hike. Like I said, you could take a JanSport backpack. Those have some kind of a water bottle. JanSport's not a sponsor, obviously, but that's just the brand that I keep thinking of when I think of just your daily backpacks.
Right.
But they have something, but most, like, if you're a backpacker, most backpacks come with some kind of a day pack with them. So if you get to camp and want to do a day hike, then you have a smaller pack to take with you. But it still has enough room for a 2 liter or 1 liter or 2 liter bladder with a straw, so you can just drink water while you're going. So if you're just going for a mile, 2 miles, water bottle's fine, whatever.
Sure.
But if you need more, then those day pack options are going to be there too. Like what I was seeing is a recommended 10 to 30 liter. I think 30 liters a bit much.
I feel like 30 liters a bit much. I kept seeing that guideline too. I'll be honest. I think 10 liter is a bit much.
Probably too much. Like you could really probably a 5 liter. Cause I mean, if you think about it, you're taking 2 liters of water. The rest of that is just going to be snacks and a first aid kit. Let's get into the rest of what you should take.
So let's get into that though. So like, let's talk about day packs though. So like, yes, you and I happen to have a day pack because a day pack came with our backpacking backpack. It had a day pack insert that is removable. You and I happen to have that.
Yep.
If you don't have that, like Mike's saying, use a book bag backpack type thing, JanSport or whatever brand you've got. Or you and I, with our spouses, just went for a day hike in Arizona.
With cinch sacks.
We threw a cinch sack on our back.
And somebody had a fan pack or whatever, too.
Right.
That's an option.
So, I mean, you don't need to get, super fancy about it. Take something. Right. If you want to have some cargo pants, fill your cargo pants up. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think that's the best thing to use for hiking, just because, stuff knocking around knee level is not always so great when you're walking.
That's what I always hate.
But, if that's what you got and that's what you want to go with, fill your pockets and go that way.
Wear your purse pants.
Wear your purse pants, exactly. But if you have a day pack, they're usually much cheaper than a backpacking backpack, because there ain't much to them. It's a couple of straps and a sack. Use whatever you've got laying around the house. It will be fine.
If you don't want to invest in a whole lot, for sure.
And I saw the same guideline you did, 10 liter to 30 liter. It's pretty loosey-goosey. Like you said, my husband took a fanny pack and it had almost everything in it that he needed in this fanny pack. So,
right.
You don't need to get super fancy about it.
Yeah, what's next on your list?
Well, so you kind of mentioned the next thing, which is a fairly important one. But I would take, even if you're just going for a quick little jaunt in the woods, at least a basic emergency kit. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It don't have to be as in depth as the one that we take on our backpacking trips.
Right.
But
something that'll treat some blisters
If you start getting some thigh chafing or whatever, wouldn't hurt to throw some diaper cream in there just in case. A couple of band-aids, because band-aids are always good. I would throw your whistle in as part of your emergency kit. I feel like the whistle is a good thing to take all the time. I feel like a multi-tool is good for pretty much everything. I would throw.
Yeah.
If you don't carry that in your pocket all the time, I'd throw that in your pack or your fanny pack or whatever. Maybe some Benadryl or some sort of allergy.
I have insect sting wipe or insect bite wipe.
I think that's not a terrible thing to have in it, but a very basic, one or two of each. You don't need.
Yep.
A package of each of them, very basic.
You're going to be gone for a few hours, 6 hours, 12 at most. Right. You're not going to be gone for the whole day, and then you're not going to get back to your other stuff at some point.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if it's my turn to go again, but I'm going to go again anyway. My next thing that I'm going to want in there for sure, whether you're carrying a backpack or a fanny pack or whatever, I'm going to encompass everything into navigation stuff.
Yep.
So is that a map? Is that a compass? Is it your GPS? Whatever your thing
is. Whatever's going to tell you how to get to where you're going.
Get you where you're going and get you back.
And your phone most phones have a compass these days. Our Apple Watches have a compass these days. It never hurts to have just an analog, just old, tried and true compass in case your battery's dying, anything like that. They weigh nothing. The one little thing I have weighs nothing. It just dangles on my pack.
They weigh nothing.
So you know what direction you're headed.
I mean, some freaking multi-tools have a little compass built right into them.
Yeah.
A little plastic.
Yeah.
Cheap. You don't need anything.
The 99 centers at Cabela's.
Exactly.
Or whatever,
get one off the clearance rack. It don't have to be anything super fancy. As long as it works and points north, you're good to go. As long as it can help you navigate, it don't need to be super fancy. So all of that, I'm going to lump all of that into navigation stuff. The other thing that I would really recommend having, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on this one unless you want to get deep in the weeds in it, but we've talked about bug protection quite a bit over the last few episodes.
Yeah.
You're still going to be out in nature. Have your bug protection stuff.
Sure.
Take some bug spray, depending on the type of year or where you're going, maybe take your bug net.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know where you're going, do your own research.
it's been a couple since we fit that one in.
Yeah. But do your research of like where you're going, the time of year. Like where you and I do our long trip is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, but we're spreading out. Like we started in the far west and now we're working our way, you know, into different areas. Are the black flies bad? Are, you know, is the state bird of the mosquito going to take us away? Like what's going to happen? So just prepare. Fortunately, we haven't been too bothered with bugs, but well, I guess there were the days where we were both netted up with our bug nets. So
I know, because of the stupid little gnats, which.
Yeah. So definitely take that kind of stuff. Even you're, I'm just going for a half mile. It'd be a very miserable half mile if you don't have enough to keep the critters away. You know,
and again, your bug net weighs nothing, folds up into like basically nothing. I mean, bug spray can be a little bit cumbersome depending on the type you get, but like Mike has this one. What's that little balm that you have?
God, I don't even remember the name. I'm a sucker for Facebook finds, the ads that pop up. I'm a sucker for a gimmick, and I'm like, oh, that would be great. And I found it, and it works great. It's this little cream that you put on. You don't need a lot, and it just runs right into your skin. And then, it's a tiny
little tin, screw on little top, chuck it in. I mean, it would fit in your pocket if you wanted it in your pocket. You don't have to carry like, a big old...
We've always talked, we take duct tape for ticks and fire starter and other duct tape needs. It fits right in the hole of the duct tape. So it doesn't take up any extra space than the duct tape.
It literally would fit in your pocket. Like if you just wanted to drop it in your pocket and carry it in your pocket, you don't have to take a big old canister of off or whatever. Like you can just take a little something like
that. If I find that, I think I originally got it off the Facebook thing, but I think it's available on Amazon and we can put it on our site and link it to episode.
Yeah, perfect. And then kind of in conjunction with that, because in my head, they're the same but different. Sunscreen, hat, like any of that sort of like stuff that you need.
Yes, we have mentioned in other episodes that we're in the woods. You don't really need sunscreen. We barely ever pack that kind of stuff. But if you are planning day hikes, you're going to more scenic things that are maybe have a parking lot closer by. Mm-hmm. And so therefore trees might be a little bit spread apart and everything. So you're going to be more at risk of sun exposure. So,
well, and that's going to be a do your own research thing, right? I mean, if you're going to be out in the sun, sunscreen is a good thing. If you're going to be in the woods the whole time, okay, maybe you don't need to worry about it so much. But, you know, figure out what type of trail are you going on. You don't need to do as extensive of research as Mike and I like to harp on that we do all the time. Like, if you're just going on a day hike, it's just a day hike. It's not that serious. But, you know, still check out the trail that you're going on. See what the conditions are going to be like. See what you're getting into. Know before you go. All that sort of stuff.
Yeah, another thing, I guess, to piggyback on the do your own research, too, is when you're, well... Let's skip that because that we're getting more into your prep. We're not to the preparedness yet.
Well, I got a good segue thing then, unless you got more gear.
Well, the gear that I was going to take or say is I kind of mentioned it before, but like snacks.
That's where I was going. That's exactly my segue thing.
bring something to refuel. Especially if you're going multiple miles, take a break, sit down, refill your water, do whatever, and refuel something high protein, high energy.
What a great time to test out your homemade trail mix making skills. Mike and I love trail mix. We had a whole episode per my request about trail mix. What a great time to try making your own trail mix.
Yep, absolutely. And the sad thing is if you're making your own and you're just doing a day hike, it makes a lot if you do it right.
Oh, no, I have trail mix when I get home that I can enjoy. Okay. I'm so sad about
it. Fair enough.
But no, really, I mean, throw a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in your pack or throw a couple of granola bars in there or...
That would be the perfect time to try out because we've never done the smush sandwiches or smashed.
We still haven't done the smushed PB&J. So yep. That would be a great time to do something like that. Or or realistically, throw an apple and a banana in your pack. Or
if you're into that sort of thing.
Like whatever your thing is, but take something
to refuel.
You're going to get the munchies when you're out on the trail because, like, burning all those calories makes you get the munchies. Mm-hmm. So take something to just, like, you know, give yourself a little pick-me-up. Again, depending on how far you're going. If you're just going, right. like, a half mile out, half mile back, maybe you don't need snacks. If you're going for multiple hours, you might want a snack.
Right. Whether it's protein bar, whether it's right. your trail mix, whatever. Yeah, just something that will bring you back because nobody wants to be out there starving.
Right.
And then just to throw this in there before we move on to the how to plan is if you're taking food and things like that, bring a garbage bag so you can take it out with you.
Yeah.
Don't leave it out there.
Yes. Leave no trace still applies even if it's just a day hike.
Yes.
Please take your trash with you.
What I was going to mention about, like, how to plan and things like that, obviously, find out the area that you're going to be going on. Is it a three-mile loop? Like, do your research, know how far your trail is or where you're mm-hmm. going to, all that kind of stuff. That will also help you determine what kind of footwear you need. Do you mm-hmm. need just some trail runners? Do you need just your everyday sneakers? Do you mm-hmm. need to get some high-top or mid-height boots that mm-hmm. will have more ankle support and more grip? What are you going to need? What are the ratings on this trail? Is it a difficult? Is it an easy? What is it? So
yep.
that makes a difference. Distance isn't everything. It's also elevation gain and the difficulty of the trail.
For sure.
So prepare, look into that. All Trails is free. There's so many different free apps out there where you can look into it. Hell, you can even look at Google Maps and just look and see what the tree canopy looks like. You can kind of get a terrain level of that, but...
Or, you know, does where you're going, do they have a website? Do they have a Facebook group? Do they have, like, is there, you know, resources through the DNR? Is there, like, something that, you know, explains that we had a whole episode on trail difficulty ratings. So, like... Mm-hmm. Are the trails rated? What are the difficulty levels? Yep. What are you getting into? Like, what sort of information like that? And again, with a day hike, you don't have to get quite as intense about the whole thing. But I do think prepping and understanding what you're getting into is a good thing instead of just like blindly getting into something that you don't know anything about.
Yeah. Yeah. I am curious to find out if these day hikes are uphill both ways. Because a lot of our hikes seem to be uphill both ways.
Yeah, I feel like they would feel like less uphill on both ways because you're not carrying quite so much on your back.
I guess there is that. on my how to plan a day hike comes into like to pick the right trail. We kind of just covered that that bullet point under mine is how to do that.
Okay, so then I'm going to kind of piggyback off your footwear one and. Okay. Because we're kind of talking about prep, right? Like how to prep for it being out there. So you and I talk all the time about knowing the weather before you go.
Oh, yeah. That was my next bullet point.
Look up the weather before you go. Like, what do you need as far as clothing goes? You know, do you need to dress in layers? Do you need what time of year is it? Is it during hunting season? Should you be wearing orange? Right. You know, like what is the clothing that you feel like you're going to need? And if it's like one of those times a year, like we just had our episode about like hiking in the springtime, right? Are you hiking in the springtime where it's cold when you're starting out, then it gets hot in the middle of the day, and then maybe it's going to get chilly.
So cools back off. Yeah.
Do you need to really plan for your like layering that you have? Again, you don't need to get quite as intense about it as you would for like a multi-day trip, but take a look at the weather, dress accordingly.
Yeah, is it going to be rainy, but it's not bad enough to where you're going to cancel your trip and everything, but it might be a little slick? Do I bring my trekking poles? Do I, you know, all that kind of stuff? Pay attention to the forecast and know what you're... They're never 100% accurate, but know what you... should be getting into.
Right. What else? What else as far as prepping goes or planning goes did you want to touch on?
The one thing that we always like to say is tell someone where you're going, even if it's just a day hike, anything like that. Make sure somebody knows your whereabouts, when you're expected to be back, things of that nature.
Yep.
That way, if you're not where back when you're supposed to be, they can alert somebody, because we all know and we all hear the horror stories of people going missing or falling or whatever.
Yep.
So we don't want that to be any of us.
So I would for sure, I mean, realistically, anytime you are going out in the woods, I would tell somebody where your plan is and when you're going to be back. And, you know, if you're going to be in an area where there's cell phone coverage, maybe share your location if you have a trusted person you can do that with. The other thing that I would recommend people do is listen to our episode about getting unlost.
Yes.
Especially if you are still a beginner, maybe this is your first time trying out a day hike. Cause like a day hike is a very great way to try this out, to see if this is something you would like to get into as far as backpacking and stuff goes. So, I would recommend listening to our episode about getting unlost in case you take a wrong turn or get disoriented, or, you know, we talked in that episode about how easy it is to think that this is the trail, but it's not really the trail. And then you wind up not on the trail, and what do you do? So whether it is through our episode about that or just your own research on the internet, learn what to do if you find yourself in an area where you're not where you thought you would be.
Yes.
And that kind of goes back to like having the map and the compass and all that sort of stuff too, as part of the gear, all tying it together.
Yeah. But I think the other thing that I would mention is just know your limits of what you're capable of. If you are brand new to this, have never done it before, and the trail you're looking at, it might take you to like the waterfall you've always wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an expert level or a difficult level trail, maybe that's a few hikes in before you get your feet wet and like know your limits, what you can and cannot handle. Like everybody wants to say they can do a 2 mile uphill both ways trail, but you just never know if once you get out there, you don't know. Or until you get out there, you don't know.
Yeah. For sure. Until you get out there, you don't necessarily know. Because, yes, walking in the woods is different than walking on a sidewalk, right?
Absolutely.
It's total different muscles you're going to be using, different fitness level required. But a day hike is a great way to test that, too.
Absolutely.
Plan a shorter day hike. See how it goes. If that one goes really well, then maybe plan a little bit longer of a one. See how that goes.
Yeah.
But this is a great way to test your fitness level without 40 or 50 pounds on your back and with much less of like a long-term commitment, you know, like, or you were just talking about footwear. Okay. This is a great way to break in your footwear. And if this is the first time you're wearing these hiking boots, are you going to get a blister a quarter mile in? Mm-hmm. And you don't want to commit to like a 5-day thing with blisters all over your feet? It's a great way to test that, you know, and break in that gear and test how your gear is doing.
Yeah.
Not even just you, but like, how does your gear hold up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our first few day hikes were with our full 65 liter packs and we filled them up. Like, We were preparing for a larger trip, but that's another thing that the day hikes are great for, is just preparing for your bigger trip. So, yeah, you might look silly walking through St. Ignace, Michigan, like we did, because we were on the North Country Trail, didn't realize it went right through town. We got our big 65-liter packs on walking through town. So, but it is a great way to break in all of your gear if you are prepping for something bigger too. So
I think another thing that I don't think we talk about very much, but one thing that I do really like about those day hikes that you and I did when we first got started, I think it not only builds your physical endurance, I think it also, at least for me, I'll speak for myself on this, it mentally prepared me for what we were getting into in a way that I didn't anticipate needing to mentally prepare for. Like, you hear all the time, it's like, especially like runners and stuff will always say, like, it's
mind over matter.
Your mind is going to quit before your body quits, right? Like,
yes.
You hear that quite a bit, especially in like the running community and stuff. And I think that's true with backpacking too. Like, I know Mike makes fun of me because like I hit a wall right around the 6 mile mark.
Yeah.
Mentally. Like, I'm ready to be done. Like, I'm done walking. I don't want to be carrying this pack anymore. I physically could keep going, but like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Like, my mind. So, like, getting those day hikes in, I think, helps you understand what your mentality is going to be if you ever do want to move just day hikes into longer term backpacking.
Yeah, and well, and that comes into a good point too. Of we mentioned know your limits and everything, and that's not just physical limits; that's your mental limits too.
Yeah,
like you said, if you're mentally not in it, then you could make a mistake that ends up getting you injured or lost or something like that. So know those limits, so then you are prepared to say, when I'm planning a longer trip or a farther day hike or whatever, then I know this is where I'd like to stop at.
Yep.
So I either am setting up camp there, or I need to cut that trip in half and then turn around and go back to the car. Something along those lines.
Or even just understanding, like, okay.
Or take a break.
That's what exactly where I was going. Like, learning where, okay, let's say 2 miles is my wall, right? Like, I'm after 2 miles, I'm ready to, quote unquote, be done. But if I stop for a half hour, am I ready to keep going then? And then that'll help you understand when you're planning a longer trip, how many miles realistically do you think you can go in a day? And how many hours is it going to take you to do that? Because if you need to stop every 2 miles, and then maybe you stop for an hour, take in the scenery, have a snack and all that sort of stuff. Well, then you'll know to base your time off that when you're planning your longer trips.
Well, you and I have talked about being better about that too. Is like we don't take enough breaks.
We for sure don't take enough breaks. For sure we don't.
So that, and then when we get to that 6 miles, we're like, you've been at the I'm done, I want to be done, all that kind of stuff. Or you're, I need to take a break, I'm taking my pack off, we're gonna sit here for 20 minutes, half hour, whatever. And I've also, you've said, I'm going to sit down and take my pack off, and I'll sit there with my pack on because I'm like, if I take this pack off, I'm not putting it back on.
Right.
We've both gotten to our mental breaking points of that kind of thing. So there are times that I can put the pack on so many times in one day. So, but that's where, like you talked about, is if we get dropped off somewhere or we park somewhere and hike in and then set up camp and then we're there for a night or two, we'll get to cover more ground and probably see things we normally wouldn't want to carry our packs to. So
yeah, I know. I think we're going to try that this year. I'm going to call it setting up like base camp, right? Like, we're going to hike into a base camp and then we're going to take like day hikes out and away, but then returning to that same camp spot.
Whether it's a loop or an out and back to a scenic overlook or something, yeah.
Yeah, because we haven't tried that type of backpacking yet. I feel like we should try it and see if we like it or don't like it.
Right. I mean, this is year 5. I'd say it's probably time.
I know.
So, but that's, I mean, day hikes are no different than backpacking, other than it's not overnight and you get to carry less gear, less weight, to the point where you might be able to go a little bit farther or see things. Like our day hikes in Arizona, I don't think we would have gone to that, Devil's Bridge or whatever, if we had 40 pounds on our back.
Oh, for sure we wouldn't have. No,
wouldn't have been climbing up that rocks and all that stuff. No. So there are things you will get to do and see just by doing a day hike that you wouldn't in backpacking.
Like, for my money, like, your day hikes, they're easier to plan, like we said multiple times already. Like, you just, you can almost pick up and just go. Like, there's a little bit of, like, looking ahead. But, like, you can just, like, go do it. It's less physically demanding. You're not carrying as much stuff on your back. There's lower cost to get into it. Like, you don't need to buy all of the things. You only need to buy some of the things. You don't need to buy all of the things.
Right.
It's a great way to, I'm going to say practice backpacking, but, like, figuring out your, like, do you know how to read a map? Do you know how to navigate the trails? Do you know how to read all the things? Like, it's a great way to, like, test yourself before committing to that longer thing. And generally speaking, because of all those things, your recovery is going to be faster. So, like, Mike and I don't really get into, like, talking about recovery and stuff, but he and I both usually take the day after our backpacking trip, we usually take it off work because you're tired, you're sore, you've got blisters, you've been out in the woods for a few days, you haven't eaten real food in a couple of days.
Like, gotta reacclimate to society.
You gotta reacclimate to society. Like, Mike, we don't really ever talk about a recovery day, but you and I usually take a recovery day after we get back. Yeah. You probably don't need to do that if you're just going on a day trip. Like, right. You know, so, like, there's all the things. Like, it's just easier to do.
Well, and one other thing that I just thought of is that if you're just doing a day hike, and I don't want to say just because accomplishing a day hike in and of itself is an accomplishment.
For sure it is.
But if you're doing a day hike rather than backpacking in the backcountry, you may be able to get other people involved with it or take other people along. Yeah. Like, our spouses have no desire to do the backpacking. Absolutely
no
aspect.
No desire.
But at all. They did the day hikes with us. You know, they'll do the day hikes with us. So, there is that aspect. If there's people that want to see some of the things you see, but don't want to commit to the backpacking aspect of it, see if they'll do a day hike with you.
For sure. Yeah. That is a good point, too, that I did not really think about bringing up. But you're 100% right. Like, our spouses have said repeatedly, they are not going backpacking with us. They have no desire. It does not sound interesting. According to my husband, it even sounds downright repulsive to think about going and doing what we do. But, yeah, he went on that day hike with us out in Arizona. Like, he will often go, like, if we're just somewhere and there's, you know, a scenic
trails or whatever
or whatever, like, he will go and do that with us. He ain't going out and backpacking with all the stuff on his back, but but yeah, that's a great point to make, that there's a larger community of people that would be interested in doing a day hike. It is a much smaller group of people that want to go on a backpacking trip.
The trails would be overcrowded if it was a bigger community of people that wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all I have, though, on my notes. I'm actually pleasantly surprised that this one was as long as it was. I thought this was going to be a quick, like, 20 minutes and done.
Yeah. So. Turns out we're both a little bit long-winded. But, like, you know, day hiking, it certainly has its perks. I mean, it is not what Mike and I initially set out to do when we first started, like, thinking we wanted to become backpackers, but it is certainly a part of what we have done along the way, what we continue to do. Day hiking is a great way to get out into the woods. I mean, Mike and I say all the time, we just like being out in the woods and being out on the trails. I don't always got 5 days in a row that I can take and go out and go backpacking. Right. I got a couple hours here and there, though. Like, and it's a great way to get out, enjoy nature, see the things, you know, stop at a scenic overlook on a longer, you know, if you're driving somewhere and there's a scenic overlook to hike out to, if you got time, stop and look at it. Like, day hiking, it certainly has its place. It is a great way to enjoy nature. A lot of your same rules apply. It's very similar to backpacking, but way easier to get into.
Absolutely. It's just, I don't know, it's just a great way to get started, and even if you are a backpacker, just to continue just getting out in the country or in the backcountry, like you said, you don't have all the time in the world always. And we're not all fortunate enough to be retired or you know, I don't want to say unemployed because that's not a fortunate thing, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't all have the time allotted to us to be able to just, hey, I'm going to go spend a week in the backcountry. I don't know how the people do it that, like, the one kid last year did the whole Michigan NCT. I'm like, well, who has time for that?
I know. Well, and for the people that are, like, hardcore backpackers, incorporate day hikes into your backpacking trip. Like, that's what Mike and I are going to try to do this summer. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to plan a backpacking trip and incorporate day hikes into it to just be able to see different things that, you know, realistically, there's some stuff that Mike and I have talked about going to see. I'm not carrying 50 pounds with me to hike up this hill. I'm going to call it a mountain, but it's not really a mountain. It's a tall hill. But I don't want to carry my pack up there. So, like, you can incorporate day hikes into your backpacking trip, too, to see things that you maybe wouldn't have been able to see otherwise. So, like, there's different ways to, like, mix and match, even.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to re-plan this trip.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, we've got the spring trip coming up that we're gonna be planning too, but I'm excited to look and see what this this day hike option looks like. So,
for sure, me too.
Yeah.
So, if any of our listeners have any day hike tips or tricks that they would like to share with the community, you can always reach us on our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. You can reach us on our website, which is seanmikehike.com, or on most of the major socials at seanmikehike. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And until next time, go take a hike.
Yeah, go take a day hike.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Thanks, everybody. We'll
see you in a couple weeks.